Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he's describing the life of a servant of God. And by his description, it's apparent that it is no picnic. From his own experience, Paul writes of troubles, hardships, beatings, imprisonments, hard work, sleepless nights, and on and on. And that really is not a pretty picture. I think most, if not all of us, would prefer a much more idyllic picture. Blue skies, gentle breezes, no cares. And some would even insist that's the way it's supposed to be. Once you give your life to Christ, your life is supposed to be trouble-free. The perfect home, the perfect job, the perfect family, the perfect whatever. But that possibility really ended in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Perfection was no longer a possibility. God's whole creation fell and was under the dominion of sin and death. That was especially so for man. Man became a slave to sin and death, a prisoner, really, with no escape. And man, Adam, and all his descendants were powerless to change that. That was a consequence of Adam's sin, a consequence that is ours as descendants of Adam. As children of Adam, we live under that same curse of death. We are prisoners of that curse, and we can't change our nature. But God, out of love for his creation, out of love for man, sent his Son into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The Son of God took on human flesh so that he could do for us what is impossible for us to accomplish. He took upon himself Adam's curse, and he died the death that Adam and we deserve. As Paul wrote in the previous chapter in this letter, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Son of God became sin for us so that he could remake us in his image. Paul also wrote earlier that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. United with him in a death like his, we are released from the prison of sin. The curse has been lifted from us because it fell on Christ. And if we've been united with Christ in a death like his, we are also united with him in a resurrection like his. We have been raised from death in sin to new life in him. We have become a new creation. We are no longer slaves to sin. Those chains have been broken by the forgiveness of our sin. And so now we serve a new master. We're now back to the life of the servant of God. Having been reconciled to God by Christ's saving work, having been rescued from the dominion of sin and death, and brought into the light of God's salvation, we are now ambassadors of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. God is now at work through us and the word of God we share to continue his reconciling work. That's really what Paul is talking about here. Wherever we are, no matter what circumstance we may encounter, when we are able to share with others the good news of God's reconciling work through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, at that moment, at that precise time, we could say, as Paul writes, that because of God's work through us and His word that we share, because of His desire that all be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that in that moment is the time of God's favor. In that moment is the day of salvation. And I would like to say that the result of such sharing, at least in my experience, is that the one we share the hope of Christ with hears the Holy Spirit call them by the gospel and enlighten them with His gifts so that they believe and confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I would like to say that. I would like to say that happens every time. But the truth is, it rarely happens that way. And that can be a disappointment. It's hard to continue day after day to share that hope with neighbors and see no concrete results. I have a suspicion that that was probably a primary motivation for the development of altar calls. You get to see results. You can count the hands in the air. You can count the numbers of those who come forward. I understand that. I understand the need to see results. But the danger there is that the focus is taken off of Christ. It becomes more about me and the job I'm doing, the effectiveness of my preaching, evidenced by the numbers that come forward. That becomes a dangerous place to be because at that point I'm taking responsibility for the Holy Spirit's work. In reality, I'm putting stumbling blocks in people's paths because now it's all about me and no longer about Christ. Having said all that, we here at Bethlehem actually have an altar call every Sunday. But it's not me doing the inviting. I'm just waiting tables. Christ does the inviting. The Holy Spirit calls by the gospel of Jesus' invitation to enlighten folks to see the gift Jesus has come to give. Jesus says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Those are Christ's words, His invitation. Again, I'm not the one doing the calling. I'm just waiting tables. I'm just here to serve those who have been called. Really, I'm an instrument through whom the gifts that Jesus comes to give are distributed to those who gather at His table, who sit in that place that Jesus has prepared for them. Jesus invites us all to come to Him here at His table so that He can give us rest, so that He can fill us again with the joy of His salvation. He does that so He can then send us out into this broken world to share the joy of His salvation with our neighbors. And I'm not going to spend the time this morning going through the list of experiences that Paul describes here in this letter to the Corinthians, mostly because it would take way too much time, but also because it's not an exhaustive list. The bottom line for Paul and for us is that we endure through all those times, whether good or bad, and continue to point folks to the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and the resurrection that he shared with us. Circumstances may change. You may be in the midst of some hard times and troubles, or not. You may be running on, life may be running on all cylinders with no struggles, or you might be somewhere in between. Whatever your circumstances might be, the one thing that never changes is the hope that we bear. The message of reconciliation remains the same, unchanged from before the foundations of this world were laid. And the task of proclaiming that hope has not changed. So Paul's word to us this morning is, don't let the circumstances you're experiencing put a veil over the hope that you've been called to proclaim. This past week, that was a real temptation for me. I typically start my sermon preparation on Tuesday, and most times that preparation flows smoothly. There are always bumps along the way, but the preparations always move forward toward completion. But this week, not even close. That wasn't the case. Got to the point where yesterday, Saturday, the day before Sunday, the day I'm supposed to stand up and proclaim and preach, yesterday, I felt like I had come to a dead end alley. Dead at both ends. Nothing was working. There seemed to be no progress. I went through the Greek translation. I looked up different words, hoping that something would turn a light on, bring some insight, do something to help move things forward. And no matter what I did, there I was in that alley. I was frustrated. I was angry. I can't count the number of times I had things in my hand that I felt like throwing through the window in the office, just because I think it would have made me feel better. But that was getting in the way. Getting away in the proclamation of the hope that is mine in Christ and the forgiveness of sin. It really became a stumbling block, the kind of thing Paul was talking about not putting in the way of people. A stumbling block both to me and to my neighbor. And I would like to say that at some point Saturday night, those struggles were resolved completely. But being saint and sinner at the same time, I don't think I can ever say that gets resolved completely. But the good news for me, and I hope for you this morning, is that God was and is still at work. And his message hasn't changed, even if I can't fit it into some well-organized format to bring before you to proclaim on a Sunday morning. So, I have to continue to point us all to the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, the hope that is ours in the new life that comes through the resurrection that Jesus shares. Even when I still feel like I'm standing in that dead-end alley, I can still proclaim to you that Jesus is here today for you. He is here to welcome you to his table and give you rest. So walk with me out of that alley and come to his table where Jesus is present to touch us with his love and fill us with his gifts, and then walk with him back out into this broken world to proclaim that message of reconciliation, to share the life you have received through the resurrection that Jesus has accomplished in you. In the midst of the good and bad you may encounter, remember your baptism and the gifts of God that are yours in Christ. That's why Paul is able to write this about the character of the servant of God. He and we are genuine, yet regarded by the world as imposters. We are known, and yet regarded by the world as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing in that hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, poor, yet making many rich in the sharing of that same hope, having nothing, and yet possessing everything, co-heirs of the kingdom of God. That's the life of the servant of God. We live in the midst of a broken world with troubles lurking around every turn, and yet we live in and carry with us a treasure that remains untouched by that darkness. We carry a treasure shared that when we share that treasure, pierces that darkness with a light that shines as a beacon to draw those who wander lost in the dark to Christ and the life he has come to share. That is the life of a servant of God. We endure the trials and troubles, circumstances of this world, because it means fruitful labor for us. We have been called by God out of death into life so that we can be living testimonies to the life that is his gift to all who believe. May that light continue to shine as we share that hope, that others still walking in the dark might be drawn to that light and to the life that is Christ's gift to share with all. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.